This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
All right, let's get to the Christmas story, shall we? We're going to read the proverbial everybody read story, Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Christmas service is what pastors do, but as I normally try to, I'm going to get a little different with this today, okay? Going to try to pull some stuff out to help us out this holiday season. Luke 2, verse 1. In those days, meaning, of course, we've been working up to this in our Vintage Christmas series through the Gospel of Luke. In those days, after Mary and Joseph were visited by the angel, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And that is the Christmas story. But you know what? We have got to dig deeper beyond a Christmas card cover and see what the Spirit of God would say to us through his word today. So let's pray and ask him to do that. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you, Lord, that you loved us so much, God, that you sent your son, even as a baby, Lord, to enter humanity. Today, Holy Spirit, would you open our eyes? Help us to see Jesus and learn more of him and be formed into his image. Father, especially at Christmas time when there's so much distraction, help us to focus on the things that matter. In Jesus' name, amen. It's Christmas time. Everybody knows that, right? You get cards in the mail and carols in the mall. It's like that's what happens. And everybody's celebrating this event that most don't even know what they're celebrating, right? We dress up in our Christmas finery. Got my Mickey Mouse tie on today. My Mickey Mouse watch that doesn't have a battery because who wears watches anymore? But it's Mickey, right? It's Christmas time. And ladies, just try to restrain yourself today. I'm just telling you, I look pretty good. Men, fight off that raging jealousy that's in your heart right now. I know that. Someday you too will look like me. Someday. It will happen. It will happen. My funniest Christmas story, I've got to tell you this. Because we celebrate something we don't even really know what we're celebrating. And this was a Christian women's meeting that this happened at, okay? A good friend of mine who shall remain nameless, because if I give his name, then you might connect the dots and I would get in big trouble. This guy is a fantastic musician, and everybody wants him to lead songs, and so he was doing worship for this ladies' Christian meeting. And they were like, okay, so just do some holiday favorites for us, and, you know, we'll do some secular songs, and we'll do some Christian songs, like whatever that means, right? I don't know how you become a secular song. But anyway, they were singing the Christmas favorites, and they were singing the Christmas song. You know what the Christmas song, how it goes? Sing it with me. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Exactly. And the ladies at this Christian meeting were going, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Thank you, Jesus. It's like, what? Come on. It's like we kind of lose our mind a little bit at Christmas time, right? Nothing wrong with those songs, but let's remember who it is we're worshiping, not Jack Frost nipping at your nose, all right? There's something a little more important than that. And the prophet Isaiah told us what would happen 700 years before Jesus was born. Talk about advance warning, right? He wrote this in Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. So there it is. Bang. There's the promise that Israel was waiting for. The promise that said, God's solution to us walking away from him was God himself running to meet us. Amazing, right? But there were other clues that something special would happen. It said when the virgin gives birth to a son, we would know that this was happening. And the prophet Micah, 300 years after Isaiah, said, but you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth from me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days, or from eternity. There's another clue. So based on these prophecies like this, the people of Israel, the followers of God, knew something big was coming. And the sign would be a virgin would conceive. And isn't it amazing how even the point that Jesus being born in Bethlehem, because where were Joseph and Mary from? What town? Nazareth. So God arranged this amazing thing that the baby would be born in Bethlehem, which was ridiculous, but fulfilling the historical facts. It's awesome how Luke, our researcher, our thorough investigator, as we've been studying the last 4 weeks, pointed out historically how the facts of Jesus' birth lined up exactly with the scriptures, even to the point that we know who was in charge. We know that Caesar Augustus was in charge. We know that Quirinius was the governor. And we know that a census, a big event of the entire Roman Empire, was taking place. All these things historically help us date accurately with historical accuracy the fact of Jesus' birth. It's important for us, especially as we are, you know, trying to a world that doesn't, by and large, believe the words of the scriptures, that we can correctly identify these points in history. And then, again, to the point that Jesus being born in Bethlehem required Joseph and Mary to take this ridiculous trip, 100 miles, which doesn't sound like a lot unless you're riding a donkey, right? And you're 9 months pregnant. And it's got to be a ridiculous situation of events and organizing these seemingly coincidental episodes in the lives of these people. I can't imagine Brittany getting on a donkey and running 100 miles 9 months pregnant. Neither could she, I can imagine. Although, talk about natural childbirth, it would probably be a good initiator there. But think of the risk that God took to fulfill prophecy. What if Mary had given birth on the road somewhere? You know, labor had come early and she'd been without help. And it's just all those things that make you crazy and you realize, God, you are ridiculous in the way you speak to us, even through the details, even the minor details of Scripture. You know, it said that they went up from Nazareth. What's that tell you? It was a climb. You know, altitude-wise, Bethlehem is higher than Nazareth. You go up. It was a hard climb, a hard road. And yet God was so specific in the detail to fulfill every word to show that he is King of the universe, that he is Lord of all, Lord of circumstance, Lord of geography, even using people like Caesar Augustus to demand a census to get Mary and Joseph from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Isn't that crazy? It blows my mind. And then that the King of the universe, the Creator, would choose a feed trough to be born in, demonstrating his humility, that he didn't come, as Jesus said, to be served, but what? To serve, taking on the form of man. God's sovereign power is amazing. And Christianity is rooted in the historical, the theological facts of who Jesus is. And so today, I'm going to talk about Jesus. Isn't that kind of different for Christmas? You know, instead of chestnuts on an open fire, we're going to talk about the reason we celebrate this incarnation. That's the fancy theological term. Incarnation simply meaning God in the flesh. God putting on skin and coming and dwelling among us. The Gospel of John says it like this. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that's huge for us to understand. There's some observations we can make about Jesus. Mark Driscoll and Jerry Brashears wrote this book, Vintage Jesus, which parallels really well with my vintage Christmas theme. So we're going to look at some points that they bring up about Jesus and some questions that even today, our society, our culture would ask about the Christmas story and about the person of Jesus. Like, number one, did a person become God? Did Jesus become God? It's a question which deserves an answer. What's your answer? Did Jesus become God? I'm not trying to trick you up. It's important to know that no, Jesus did not become God. Jesus was God. Okay? Some religions, you know, without naming names, but a couple of major ones would say, we earn our way, right? We do so many good deeds, and we build our way up the ranks to where we become like God. Well, what's that sound like? That sounds an awful lot like the serpent in the garden who tempted Adam and Eve by saying, you too can become like God. The truth is that Jesus was God before he came, right? He created it all. He was here before us. He was here before Mary. We said last week, that's why we don't worship Mary. Mary is a created being. We don't worship creation. We worship the Creator, okay? So Jesus was God when he came. A person didn't become God. Number two, did Jesus come into existence at his birth? No. He was here from the beginning. We just read it in the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word. In the very, very beginning. There was nothing before the presence, the person of God, and Jesus being God would have not come into existence. He came into humanity at his birth, but he didn't come into existence. Colossians 1:16 says, by him, who's him? Jesus. All things were created. Say all things. All things were created by him, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. Jesus' birth was not his creation, but it was his entrance into creation. That's an important point. Number three, did the concept of incarnation come from the pagan worship, from the Greek mythologies? Because there are other stories of incarnation, of virgin births. Truth is, long before Jesus' birth, 700 years, we said, in the book of Isaiah, 400 years in the book of Micah. It's like these Greek mythologies may have borrowed the concept of incarnation from Christianity, but Christianity is not a copycat of these pagan mythologies. Christianity is a historical fact. Jesus was born of a virgin. That's why Luke interviewed these eyewitnesses, so we could know these things were so. So that we today could look at the scripture and know that we don't worship a myth or a fairy tale, but the truth of the coming of a Savior born of a woman, evidenced by eyewitness testimony. Number four, did Jesus cease to be God when he became a man? Did Jesus cease to be God? He's like switched roles and then became a man. No, he didn't. Jesus proclaimed his deity throughout all the Gospels, and his opponents, that's what they hated about him, right? That he claimed to be God. John 10:33, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. That's what got Jesus sent to the cross. So offensive that this man would claim to be God. But if he wasn't God, he had no business forgiving sins, did he? So Jesus was God. So is Jesus God or man? Yes. That's the question that Krista asked me, and I drive her crazy with my yes. Do you want this or that? Yes. Meaning I want both. Well, true. Jesus is both God and man. He's the God-man. And it's interesting how you look at you know, theologians today on the liberal or the conservative side. The liberal theologians like to paint Jesus as this benevolent do-gooder, right? The humanitarian, going about and being compassionate and kind to those in need, and that's not a bad thing. He's like Mother Teresa, right? Or Gandhi. It's like, that's how the liberal side of the equation wants to paint Jesus. On the other side, the conservatives often make this such a big deal of Jesus' deity that he's this untouchable, unreachable, supreme being in the sky that there's no way we could ever touch or relate to or connect to. And see, both extremes are out of balance. The truth is, Jesus was fully man and fully God. And we can't understand that. You know, it's like, it goes right over. But it's the truth because the scripture says that. He lived perfectly as a man, and yet he retained his deity. It says in Philippians 2, he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Jesus never stopped being God, but he was wholly, fully man. And that's the wow factor of what God did at Christmas time? Here's another interesting question that I never thought of, but we have to deal with this because it's something that people believe. Did God have intimate relations with Mary to conceive Jesus? The Mormon religion believes, and I'm not being rude, I'm just telling you, God didn't, he's not a flesh and blood person that had intimate relationship with Mary. That's not how that happened. The angel said what? The virgin will conceive when the Holy Spirit comes upon her. It was a miracle. It's unexplainable, as miracles are. It's one of those things that you either believe the word or you don't. You can't logically, well, that's impossible. So God must have became a man and impregnated Mary. Well, that's just kind of weird. But because that's a belief of people, we have to address that. So that is today, at Christmas time, I want you to know the truth, because the word says the truth sets you free. Number 7 is the incarnation, this God becoming flesh, born of a virgin, a secondary issue to our faith. Some churches, some theologians would say it doesn't really matter. Why? Because they can't figure it out. So whatever you can't explain, you got to kind of come up with an excuse for, right? And while, you know, some would say it really isn't an important issue, I think it really is an important issue. Why it's a primary non-negotiable element of the Christian faith. Because here's the deal. If Mary wasn't a virgin, then the scripture isn't true. Because that's what the scripture says, right? Born of a virgin. So if that's not true, what else in the Bible isn't true? You begin to be suspect of everything else. Well, maybe that other thing's not true either. And then the whole Bible becomes under suspicion, and we lose the very thing we base our faith on. If Mary wasn't a virgin, then those prophecies weren't fulfilled, and we're still waiting for a virgin to conceive, right? Because that's what the prophecy said, which means that we don't have a Savior. We have a woman caught in a bad situation trying to cover her tracks. Do you see where this goes? That's why the incarnation, the virgin birth of Jesus, is a big deal. That's a cornerstone of the Christian faith. Without the virgin birth, Jesus was just a normal guy who has no business being our Savior. We're still waiting for one. It undermines the very foundation of our faith. So it's something worth fighting for. As I would say, it's a hill worth dying on. It's a war worth fighting. I'm going to stand it. I'm not going to attack people who don't believe it, but they're not going to convince me otherwise because the Word says that. And that's where our faith is based, right? On what the Word says. And someday, Paul tells us, we will know. It'll all make sense when we see him face to face, and we'll know him as he knows us, and that'll be an awesome day. In the meantime, we walk by faith, not by sight, not by logic, not by figuring it out. So some conclusions from these points of who Jesus is as you prepare to celebrate his birthday this week. Jesus' birth is historical, it is theological, and it's also biographical. The implications of Jesus' birth today in my story, in your story, are tangible. They're real. They're huge. First of all, we learn that Jesus is like us. Jesus is like us. That's ridiculous. That's probably the one I have the hardest time hanging on to think that Jesus is like us. Jesus is like me. That's a huge part of the Christian faith. It says, in Hebrews 4, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are. Whoa, that's huge. Yet without sin, that's also huge. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy, say mercy, and find grace, say grace, to help in time of need. See, again, we said, unlike other religions, our God is touchable. Aren't you glad that Jesus was touchable? That he said, don't keep the little kids from coming to me. Come on. That the woman with the issue of blood knew that if she just touched him, I mean, she didn't get struck dead, did she? She got healed when she touched him. Jesus was a real man with skin and bones, and men was tempted the way you and I are tempted, which honestly, in a weird sort of way, brings me a lot of comfort, because then I don't feel so weird. You know, it's like, Okay, I'm not the only guy. All right. And men, we all know. Everything that we're tempted by, the word says Jesus also experienced that pull, that weighing down. That's the good news, that Jesus became a man. He knows what it's like to have your family turn their back on you. He knows what it's like to be lied to be betrayed by those closest to you, to be mocked, to be beaten. He even knows what it's like to die. Think about that. Jesus experienced physical death. That's wild. Every human experience Jesus went through for us, suffering, the hurting, the temptations. Therefore, he can sympathize. He knows what it's like. But the second thing that's important to add to that is Jesus is not like us. Because if he were just like us, he wouldn't be a savior, would he? He experienced all that, and yet, through it all, without sin. Because that's why he could then take my sin to the cross with him. And it could be dealt with there. Yes, he was tempted. Yes, he experienced it. Yes, he knows what it's like. And because he lived a life without sin, I have a recourse. I have my relationship with God that was severed by that sin, restored because of Jesus. That, friends, is good news. That's worth celebrating today. That's why we sang the songs a while ago. We said, we will never be the same because he's here. Jesus is here. You know that, right? I mean, even though he's physically not on the planet, his spirit is here. And if you belong to him, his spirit lives in you. Everywhere you go, Jesus is there too. This week, as you're going to the mall to finish your last minute gifts, by the way, my favorite color is red. And the truth is, we get lost in all the stuff and forget the king is here. You know, when you come to Restoration and we get a little excited in worship, no apologies, okay? Because the king is here. And we're going to get excited about that, and we're going to celebrate that. Jesus never sinned. He always said yes to the Father and no to sin, every time. That's how he's not like us. And when we're tempted, we can turn to him who can identify with our sin but can also help us deal with that. Aren't you glad? We're being conformed into his image day after day. And I'm not perfect, despite this amazing specimen that you see. I am not perfect, okay? The wife always has to speak whenever I say that. Jesus can say, listen, I said no to that sin on your behalf, and I took that to the cross, even knowing that you would be tempted and you would fall at times. See, I think, honestly, this is going to sound really weird. I'm being super vulnerable here, transparent. I'm not the super pastor you think I am. Okay, I want you to know that. What's awesome for me is the revelation that's unfolding. As we see people being drawn to this work in downtown St. Joe, God loves everybody. What a concept. He doesn't love us when we get perfect. He loves us right where we're at. Jesus came to die for his enemies. We didn't deserve it. When I was dead in my sin, the scripture says he came. He brought life to me. The famous verse, right? John 3:16. Say it with me. God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever! Does that include everybody? Pretty much. If they're willing to go along with it. If you accept it, if you say, yep, that's me, I'm a whosoever. He came to die for those who didn't deserve it. That's what doesn't compute with us. It's why we accept it by faith. God, you love me right where I'm at. He doesn't love you any more when you do good than when you do bad. But he certainly has a better plan for you than the one I can make for myself. That's why I need him. How many else other people need him today? I need him. Man, I need him in my life. I know where my life would be without him, and I don't want that. Number three, Jesus came to make us like him. That's the point. Otherwise, we'd be going, boop, zipping on up to the big mansion, right? In the process between here and then, I'm not earning my salvation, but I'm becoming more like him as I learn to walk with him. And guess what? It's not just for me. It's for people around me. to know that there's hope. If he can do something with this knucklehead, then there's hope for anybody, right? And we're working our way together, not earning our salvation, but we're in process. We're not done yet. We're still baking, you know? Sometimes we smell good in the oven, sometimes we don't. But God doesn't care. He loves us where we're at. I mean, it's such a simple concept, but a mind-blowing concept. It's helped me so much to understand that it's not about the way I look or even the way I act. It's about who I love and who loves me. About being a son to my Father in heaven who is pleased with me no matter what I do. When I disappoint him, he's heartbroken, but that's why he sent Jesus, so that that part of my life can be redeemed. It can be being grown into the likeness of Jesus. That's why it's important for us to realize that we're on a journey. And because of that, I can't help but worship. I can't help but be thankful. I can't help but get a little excited when I realize what Jesus did for me. That goes way beyond the baby in a cradle, okay? We all love the baby in the cradle. Very non-threatening. We're not so sure about the grown-up Jesus who's the boss of me, right? Because nobody wants anybody to be the boss of them. Truth is, if you belong to Jesus, if you say you're a Christian, he's the boss of you. His way goes. Are you going to do it perfect? No. We're going to blow it. Listen, I love it that we're a church of imperfect people. It was so fun Friday night. I mean, I just had a blast with my top hat. It was awesome, right? You couldn't help but see me. I grew 6 inches that night. It was great. And able to tell the story of this wonderful building, but really what we were doing was building relationships with people that Jesus loves. And some of them, yeah, probably aren't living the kind of life that you would say, well, I don't think they deserve Jesus' love. Well, sorry, sister, neither did you. Who did? None of us here. See, the beauty of the gospel is that Jesus died for those who didn't deserve it, but he doesn't leave us in that condition. Not only are we promised a home in heaven, we're promised help in this life. Jesus promised that he would never leave us or forsake us. It's like there's no conditions on that promise. He's with me. I mean, that's why honestly sometimes when I know I'm disappointing him, it breaks my heart, because I know that I'm living below the potential that Jesus died to give me. When I'm sick in my body, when I'm sick in my soul, when my brokenness takes me places that don't make me more like Jesus, he doesn't leave me. He's there like Peter sinking in the water, right? And he's just reaching out a hand to rescue. He didn't scold. He rescued. See, that's what Jesus' mission was all about. It was a rescue mission. That was his mission. That was his ministry. Guess what? We get the same ministry and mission. While we're here, that's why you're here. In 2015, Christmas, downtown St. Joe, in this old broken down building. And sometimes I get to be anxious about how are we going to do that? How are we going to reach more people? And God has to remind me, listen, knucklehead, it's not about you. How about you just be my son? How about that? How about you just tell them what I did for them? How about you just be honest with your own stuff? And don't put up barriers for people coming to me. I almost think that this tool is a setup for our city. They get to come in and enjoy the history and see the cool, ambiance of a building from the 1800s and meet some people who love Jesus and love them and aren't put off by the stuff that we get to walk together. Aren't you glad that that's the invitation for us and the opportunity we have to partner with Jesus in this amazing mission of his? Every one of us are on that mission if we've said yes to Jesus, to Emmanuel, meaning God with us. That's why we celebrate at Christmas. Today, you know, I guess this was not a very Christmassy message, but I think it's important for us to point Christmas back to what it's all about. It's all about Jesus and who he is. And I'm excited about the year to come. I just am believing that God's going to give us opportunity to tell more and more people about the story, to tell them that the King is here, and he died for you. And it doesn't matter where you're at or what you've done, he loves you. What a concept. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Would you stand your feet this morning? Again, if you're new, we're glad you're here. I'll be back there to shake your hand. Love to meet you. Hope you can come back tonight for Candlelight Communion. It's always a special time. But I'm not going to let you go before we have a chance to do business with God. It's almost like you giving a gift to someone at Christmas time. And you've gone to a lot of work, you know. Sent Pastor Juan Antonio and Maria Christmas box, you know. And it's like, I was imagining them opening it and the joy they would feel. And that they would know how much this church loves them. They wouldn't feel alone. They would know that we support them, that we are for them, we're with them. That's the same heart of God. Sent his Christmas gift to us, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, right? Laid him in a manger. It's like God's handing out this gift and he's waiting to see what we're going to do with it. He imagines what it'll be like when we accept that and say yes. And he can come running back into our lives. And we can say, God, with me. That's his desire. That's why he came. Let me pray for you this morning. Just close your eyes and bow your head for a moment. Just kind of want this to be you and God time today. Nobody looking around. This is your moment. Creator of the universe is offering you a gift today. All you've got to do is accept it, to receive it. Take it. Today, many of us here, you know, we've walked with Jesus for a few years, but sometimes that's not a blessing. It becomes too routine. We lose the wonder. Maybe today you need God to restore the wonder. Or maybe you've never said yes and accepted that gift and allowed him to be born in you. Scripture says that we come to Jesus and we accept him, then we get a new life. We become new creatures. We get to almost like start over. It's quite the same, but it's almost. That's why we use the phrase born again. You get to experience a new birth, a new life in Jesus. And yeah, there's still stuff we get to deal with, but now you're not alone in your stuff because of the gift. Today, if you've never said yes to Jesus and accepted the gift of God, but you want to today, would you just slip your hand up just so that I can see it, and more importantly, so that God can see it. I just want to pray for you today. I'm not going to ask you to join a church. I'm not going to ask you to do anything, but just let God know that you're saying yes to him today. Anybody here want to make that decision? Thank you, young man. Appreciate that. Anybody else? And this morning, first service, the angels were partying because people were saying yes. And the desire of the Father was fulfilled because sons and daughters were coming home. Anybody else today in that category? You just want to say yes. Man, what a Christmas celebration this is. Believers, how about you? Need to have some wonder restored, need to have a refocus this year for Jesus being the center of our Christmas celebration. If that's what you want, just slip up your hand too and just say, that's me, I want that too. Lord, I thank you for my friends today that we get to celebrate the greatest gift of all. Thank you for your presence today here, Jesus. King truly is here. Thank you, Father, that you go with us everywhere that we go this week to our family dinners with people that we don't really like. When we go to the mall, wherever we go, Jesus, you're with us. Today we celebrate Emmanuel, God with us. Holy Spirit, now I pray, God, that you would fill the heart of everyone who's coming back or for the first time receiving that gift, that, Lord, this Christmas 2015 will mark a turning point. I pray, God, for our church that we will learn how to give this gift away in greater and greater measure, Lord, in ways that are maybe not typical, ways that maybe don't look like church. But Jesus, you did a whole lot of things that didn't look like church. pray, God, even as we prayed over the Bernards and the Humbles earlier, God, that you would awaken us to our mission. That, God, we get to be a part of what they're doing in the DR, but also that we have a part to play here in our city. You so loved this city and the men and women and the boys and girls in it that you gave. And Lord, we receive the gift and we commit today to be a part of your plan to rescue those who are waiting to know that you haven't forgotten them, that they're on your mind, that they're the reason you came. Thank you that this Christmas is different as you work that change in us and we become new creations. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, can you applaud with heaven today for what God did? That's the miracle of Christmas right there.
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit restorationstj.com, or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.